You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The global automotive industry was already in trouble before COVID-19 swept across the world. We had the trade war, there were environmental concerns, and the search for future motoring, among any other of the already big mega trends that were weighing on the sector. And as the economic shocks from the coronavirus pandemic continue to reverberate throughout the global economy, S&P Global Ratings have forecast that light vehicle sales of between 70 and 75 million in 2020 is the likely outcome. That's down by between 15 and 20% from last year. The global auto industry faces suboptimal capacity utilization and therefore a rough road ahead. That's what S&P Global says. And locally, that we've seen the slump in the new vehicle sales, certainly slowing in June. Specifically, sales fell by a further 30.7% year on year in June, following April and May, where we saw really unprecedented declines of 98% and 68% respectively. I'm joined now by Dr. Martin Davies of Deloitte Africa's automotive sector. He's actually the lead of that sector. Martin, it's always a great pleasure to chat to you. And we're talking now about a sector, as I said in my introduction, that was already in the midst of some structural shifts. How is COVID going to be impacting that? Do we have any historical precedent to be able to use as a map forward for what the impact might be on the automotive sector?
Michael, yeah, thank you. Good evening. I think there's a couple of things. At a global level, arguably 2019 was already peak auto globally. We've seen not so much cyclical, but structural shifts in the industry. Think congested cities, particularly in advanced worlds, a regulatory environment very hostile to the internal combustion engine. New business models around future mobility being very disruptive to automotive OEMs. Of alternative modes of transportation or micro transportation solutions, effectively. But we've really seen sort of peak auto arguably in 2019. In South Africa's case, it was somewhat different. Our new passenger car sales have been on decline since 2013, thereabouts. So we've been in arguably structural decline for going on almost a decade now, largely because of the peaking, not so much of peak auto, not at all, but peak middle class, so to speak, in South Africa. So there's been pressure on the industry, and because of that, our local manufacturing sector, auto manufacturing, has shifted away from less, should we say, of a domestic market focus to more of an international export focus. So that accounts entirely for the significant investments from the likes of BMW, Toyota, and Nissan in recent years, primarily export-focused. I think that's now the COVID impact is clearly decimating the higher-value type, durable sort of durable consumer good market, automotive being top of the list here. So globally, we're looking at 20%, roughly, maybe 25% to an extent, some markets, declining new car sales this year. South Africa, Deloitte, we just released this automotive executive industry survey a week ago in conjunction with the industry bodies, think NAMSA, NARCAM, NIDA, the Dealers Association, and the African Association of Automotive Manufacturers. And finding that the majority of executives in our country is that car sales, new car sales, will decline somewhere between 31 and 50% this year. So it's clearly, it's a very, it just goes to show what in a very short period of time, the structural damage that has been done to our own economy is certainly indicative in these results.
That's remarkable. It's double what S&P reckons the global average is going to be. And specifically in the South African context, a very important number that, as much as you say the car manufacturing industry has focused on exports, it still needs a vibrant local industry. And I think some industry officials have been saying that government needs to at least defer some tax payments for the motor industry and relax the criteria for investment incentives and allowances, or the pandemic could deal the sector a permanent blow. Does the industry require further government support at this stage?
Short answer is yes. I believe it does. What we're seeing here is that in recent weeks, again, automotive is truly, and I don't like this word, it's often overused, but in this case, it's certainly pertinent. It's strategic. It is the only, arguably, I would argue, the only proactive industrial strategy success we've had in SA, the last generation. It accounts for roughly 7% of GDP. It employs as a broader automotive ecosystem, nudging 500,000 people. It's our single most value-added export from our country. And in provincial economies like the Eastern Cape, you strip out auto, and to be honest, there's nothing much left. So I think it's imperative that there is government support in some form or other to the industry. We've seen in recent weeks, 3 weeks ago, the German government came out with industry support. The Spanish government announced roughly a $4 billion package in the last week or so. We've seen the French government come up. We've seen U.S. states now thinking about industry support. The question for us as a country is we haven't got the fiscal firepower to do this. So how do we boost new car sales? I think there's some creative ways to do it, as you allude to, maybe tax sacrifice. We are very taxed in South Africa. Cars are very highly taxed. So if we could reduce those taxes to an extent, you're going to see some sort of relief and some boost perhaps to local new car sales. I think the second point is that let's embrace, and no one can say I'm wrong on this, patriotic purchasing. So particularly on the public sector level, if a car is not manufactured in South Africa, it cannot be bought by government. I think that's a very obvious sort of solution as well. And I think thirdly, is the clamping down significantly on the number of grey and smuggled vehicles into the country. I'm told this number is approaching 3,000 per month. Now, that's significant. And if we add that times 12, that's roughly a whole new month of new car sales that has potential to, if only we were able to be a bit more controlling of customs and organized crime in our country.
Wow. Well, how does someone smuggle something the size of a motor vehicle into the country? Obviously, they have fraudulent papers, and the way they're doing it is with people on the inside. But that is an area that really is inexcusable and should be clamped down, Martin. In exchange, what commitments could government and reed taxpayers here expect for this kind of support? Do you think now is the time that government could sit down and start to say, well, from the industry, we need to extract a little bit more in terms of the policy certainty and support that we're providing you?
Well, what we're seeing from our Deloitte survey, Michael, is that there's a sense of crisis, stating the obvious. But I think we need to, in the sense of crisis, let's not think about long-term planning here. I'm not going to use the word opportunity, but it's about survival strategies, and it's about ultimately planning now and putting in place foundations where we can ultimately ensure we have a sustainable and viable, even in the face of significantly subdued local demand, automotive industry for the future. I'm talking about supportive infrastructure. I'm talking about new energy vehicles, battery electric powered vehicles, for example, R&D into that. We need to have more efficient infrastructure than ports particularly. We need to see from a charging infrastructure perspective. I think there's so much more we need to do, I think, at a state level, which needs to act in a more long-term entrepreneurial fashion to better enable the industry. There's two scenarios, well, really three. One steady state, which is not all that sustainable, i.e. the industry taking hits domestically, more and more subsidies going into it, but it ain't growing based on local sales as well as dropped off export sales, which is very, very uncertain during these times. The worst case scenario is that of Australia, which has basically said, well, we don't want an automotive manufacturing industry, and they've lost it all. That is just totally shut down, and I don't think that's an option. The third option is to say, well, how do we start to grow this more, I think, Thailand style, where you have a Sydney deeper value chain acting at a regional level, highly competitive globally. It's not just countries competing for automotive value chains. It's also companies. So the likes of all the OEMs here are competing with companies in exactly the same OEM stable, but in different countries. So we would be competing against Thailand, Mexico, Hungary, or whatever it may be. So how do we start to put in place those deeper value chains? The newly launched Automotive Industrial Transformation Fund is a good step toward that, but deepening it, but ultimately is how do we kickstart our own domestic market, not to mention other African economies well, which is what the African Association of Automotive Manufacturers is doing in Ghana, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Kenya, to create additional hubs of manufacturing in sub-Saharan Africa, which the South African value supply chain can plug into support and thus grow indirectly as well.
That is a very important point. As we know, the African Continental Free Trade Area was supposed to go live on the 1st of July. That was obviously delayed because of COVID. But there's an opportunity here to use that to further lower barriers for supply chains intra-Africa to help support that kind of strategy. Martin, what sort of reception has this call from industry received from government so far? As you mentioned, it is an example of what can be done if we take our industrial policy and we create certainty and we have a government that wants to partner with business. I think the automotive, and I agree with you there, is the one sector where that has really worked. So you would think that government's at least listening to what industry is having to say. So far, what has the response been like?
There's one word we need here, Martin. It's called pragmatism. And we're all in the same boat together here. Let's ensure it doesn't become a Titanic. I think that's the key point. I think from government is listening. It's not just the BTIC conversations, obviously Treasury, but speed is the essence here. And it's something which at state level has been lacking in recent times. We need to see a greater, not just collaboration in business and government, but intra-governments to make these kind of things happen quite quickly. We've seen how rapidly the European countries I mentioned earlier, Germany, Spain, amongst others, France, have reacted. In Asia, we're seeing this literally turnaround, this support, stimulus, direct or indirect, it's called enablement strategy policies, have been put in place in the course of a number of weeks. We need to see the similar response here in South Africa. Otherwise, I fear, I often say, industrialization is difficult to begin with. If you're looking to reindustrialize once you've lost industry, it's almost impossible. Let's not get to that point.
That was Dr. Martin Davies, Deloitte Africa automotive sector leader, explaining what we need to do to ensure that we have an automotive sector that's thriving post-COVID-19.